Good morning. It's good to hear everybody talking good fellowship. That's great. So good morning and welcome to Meyerstown Church of the Brethren. This is Memorial Day weekend, and it's the beginning of summer, and although it doesn't feel much like it this morning, truthfully it is. To start off, I'd like to make a few special notes of things that are in the bulletin. First of all, don't forget church council meeting on Monday, June 7th at 7 o'clock, and the agenda packets are back in the gathering place for you to pick up. The flowers here in the front of the church are in honor of Nettie Crawl from her children to honor her 100th birthday, which was this past Friday. I'm sure Nettie made a huge impact on so many people's lives here at church, and we thank God for her life. Mark your calendars for Londonderry Village Chicken Barbecue and Auction to be held July 23rd and 24th. Order forms for the barbecue are in the gathering place, and more details are in the bulletin. For the auction, the Mission and Fellowships Commission would like to be putting together some theme baskets to donate, and they're asking for monetary donations. There's for more information, you can either see Janet Duppel or Susie Dundor. Excuse me. Donation baskets are is a basket in the back there next to the offering plates, and they're going to be taking donations this week and next, so they have time to get the baskets ordered and prepared. We want to remind you to lift up in prayer the names of those on the prayer list and pray for those on page 44 in the church directory. This week, we're praying for the Light of the Gospel Fellowship Church in Staten Island, New York, and the Philadelphia Church, First Church in Winmore, Pennsylvania, is praying for us. We'd like to congratulate Donald and Phyllis Hickernell that will be celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary this Wednesday, June 2nd. What a wonderful accomplishment in this day and age, and may God continue to bless them richly. And we want to lift up in prayer for peace and comfort for the family and friends of Fern Bainey, who passed away this last Sunday. I'm sure her smiling face will definitely be missed here at church and at Sharing Cupboard. And now, Barb Hefner will lead us as we calm our hearts and minds as we prepare for worship. Thank you, Barb. Now, will you please rise if you're able and join me in the call to worship? For the call to worship, we'll read Psalm 138, 1-5. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Now let us join in singing Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, in the Blue Hymnal, page 37.
Thank you.
Let us bow our heads for the invocation prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Memorial Day, we pray for those who courageously laid down their lives for the cause of freedom. May the example of their sacrifice inspire in each of us the selfless love of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the families of our fallen troops and fill their homes and their lives with your strength and peace. Give us the courage and the strength to answer the call to work for peace and justice, and thus seek an end to the violence and conflict around the world. We ask these things through you, Jesus, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And now for the music ministry with Earl and Cindy Liske.
Try. Well, I knew I
Thank you. Next, I will read the scripture. It's found in Hebrews 11, 29 to 34. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. And when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, squelched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. Now, let's bow our hearts for a morning prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts as we prepare to worship you. We thank you for all the many, many ways you have blessed us. You've blessed our families, our friends, and this church. Please be with those of us that are in need of healing, in need of your comfort and peace, and calm our hearts so that we can hear your word. Forgive us for when we fail you, as we so often do, and please continue to prompt us to do your will. Help us to reach out to those that are hurting or in need of encouragement. Help us, too, to find that quiet time in our busy schedules of life to spend with you in prayer and in your word. We're thankful for all the workers here at church, for those that make this worship service go so smoothly. And we thank you for the technology also that's available, that we can listen to the service and feel a part of it, even if we aren't here and able to attend. Be with the Church of the Brethren as a whole and help it stay true to your word. We pray, too, for the upcoming annual conference next month. Be with us in the coming week and help us to be a shining light to all of those we meet. Give us the courage and strength to share our faith with others. And now, be with Pastor Chris as he brings us the morning message, and we pray your spirit will speak through him. We ask all these things in your loving Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, we'll all rise, and if you are able, and we'll sing America the Beautiful in the Brown Hymnal, page 4578.
Thank you.
was going to be my next question. Do you know what day this weekend or tomorrow is? This flag is to remind me that tomorrow we celebrate a very special holiday. And it is Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a day on which we stop to remember and to honor the men and women who died in military service while fighting to defend so we have our freedom. We enjoy a lot of freedoms in our country. We're free to attend church. We're free to choose what we want to be when we grow up. We're free to choose where we want to live. In fact, we are free to choose most everything that affects our lives. Yes, we enjoy our freedoms, but that freedom wasn't free. Yes, we enjoy a lot of freedoms, but the greatest freedom that we have is in guess who? Who do you think our greatest freedom is? Yes, or Jesus, yes. The Bible teaches us that the penalty for our sin is death, but you and I have been set free from this penalty because Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, and because of this, we have eternal life. This freedom wasn't free either. Jesus paid the price. So tomorrow, as you celebrate Memorial Day, maybe on a picnic or doing something special, maybe your mom and dad may want to work around the house or something, but remember to stop and thank God for all those who paid the price for our freedom, all those soldiers and men and women that are in the military. But most of all, let's especially thank God for the freedom that we have as Christians, that we can spend eternity with Him. Now, will we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Father, we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. We're thankful for those who paid the price for our freedom. And even more important, we thank you for the freedom we have because Jesus was willing to pay the penalty for our sins. Amen. Thank you so much for being good listeners. And you may now go to Children's Church. And you'll be getting a flag then after Children's Church is over. Thank you. And now I have the honor to turn this worship service over to Pastor Chris Doppel, and as he presents the morning message.
An honor, she says, is just because I'm not there at her house for lunch. I'm always told I always show up when the food's out. I don't know. Well, good morning. My name's Chris, and thank you for having me back here again. Does anybody remember what I preached the last time I was here? Well, good, because that's the sermon today. No, I figured, I might do some just in case there's that one person that remembered. So today we're going to be looking at Gideon, the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there to Judges chapter 7. But I was thinking, who was Gideon? Now, I have to kind of give you a little backstory here. My youngest son, we named Gideon. And originally, we have three daughters, and now our youngest son, Gideon, he just turned two. And my wife is like, what are we going to name? We had all girls. We weren't planning on having a boy. We just kind of assumed that God's just going to give us another girl. And I just assumed that I was going to be overran in the house. But God blessed us with a son. So we're there at the hospital. We're like, what do we want to call this baby? What do we want to call him? My wife said, well, what about Chris? And I said, well, maybe. I said, but I don't want the kid being thinking he's getting yelled at all the time, too. But no, I'm just teasing. No, but we thought about the name Gideon. But who was Gideon? So we're going to take a little step back. We're going to be focusing most of our time today in chapter 7, but we're going to take a step back to chapter 6 here, kind of seeing where the Israelites are and why was Gideon called? Gideon wasn't this big, strong, powerful man. He didn't have a lot of great strengths. Some might even say that he was a fearful man at times. So let's start here. It says, the Israelites did evil in the eye of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. We're looking here in chapter 6 here, starting. So the Israelites were given over by God to the Midianites. The Midianites were just ruthless. It says here in verse 2, because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain cliffs, caves, and stone strongholds. Wherever the Israelites planted their corn, the Midianites and Ammonites and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops. So I'm going to stop there. So these Midianites, they basically were just destroying the Israelites. They were going against them. Do we ever feel that way sometimes? Just kind of being overtaken? Just overtaken? What does God do here? Verse 5. They came up with their livestock in their tents with swarms of locusts. They came up like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the lands and ravaged it. Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites, that they cried out to the Lord for help. So the Israelites were being so oppressed at this time. What did they finally just do? They started crying out to the Lord. Isn't that funny how it says the Israelites did evil in the eye of the Lord, starting in 6. Now they're just getting powered down and they're crying out to God. They're crying out. They're humbling themselves. I believe that they were at that anguish point that they had nowhere else to go. There's thousands upon hundreds of thousands of these other people just taking their stuff. They were running for their lives. They were scared. Jumping down here in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophah that belonged to Joaz the Abinadite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now let's stop there a second. Gideon was threshing wheat inside of a wine press. What they were doing then, when he was threshing wheat, usually they would be out in open area because they would be there threshing it, cutting it down, and letting all the impure, the bad stuff of the wheat kind of just fly away. But what was Gideon doing? He was down in basically a hole in a wine press because he was scared. He was scared of what could happen to him if the Midianites would find them, because he knew that they would take their food, take their wheat. So he was scared. He was down in a hole doing his work. When the angel of the Lord approached to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So that's where we get the name Gideon means mighty warrior. Some days my son thinks he's a mighty warrior when he's throwing stuff across the room or running around the house with three sisters. He needs to be a mighty warrior some days. Then Gideon. So Gideon was there threshing, and God came and approached him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Down here in 15. "Ponder me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My claim is weakness in Mizpah, and I am the least of my family." So he was saying, he was the least of his family. He was the smallest. He was the youngest. His clan that he was a part of was the smallest. They were not strong. But what did God do? He called him. He called him. So we have the Israelites crying out to God. Who does God go to save them? The weakest? They're not the strongest? And Gideon's like, "What can I do here?" The Lord answered, "I will be with you. I will be with you." So God is calling Gideon to deliver, to go with him and to deliver Israel from the Midianites. The reason I picked this sermon topic today in chapter 7 In my Bible here, it says, Gideon defeats the Midianites. Spoiler alert, he wins. But the reason I picked this, I thought, what an underdog story. What an underdog story. Okay, you don't have to put a show of hands, but who here are Eagles fans? We only have one Super Bowl to hang our hat on. And during that Super Bowl run, we were the underdogs. I keep on living that moment. I woke my kids up to watch that Super Bowl because I said to them, it's probably the only time you'll ever see this. But the underdog story. In America, we love the underdog story. Americans, we are the underdogs a lot of the times of where we came from. So this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, we remember the sacrifice of the men and women that died for our country, for that where we came from to where we are today, where God has blessed us and where we are today. So the underdog story, I feel that's what us Americans feel sometimes. We're the underdogs and we can win. We can do anything. So let's start here in chapter 7. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, that was his nickname he was given, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them, in the valley near the hill Amorah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver you into the hands, or Israel would boast against me." First off, what military would ever say, "You have too many men"? God's army. Because what is he saying there? He is saying, "You have too many men because you will boast against me. You will say, look what I did. God, look what we did. As a great nation, look what we did." Do we hear that sometimes here? Do we hear that sometimes in our country? Do we hear it sometimes in our churches? God, look what we did here. Look at it, all these pews here. Look at this beautiful building we have. Look at everything we did. Or look at our own lives sometimes. Look at me. I'm successful. I have a beautiful family. I have a great job. I have enough money. But what is God saying here to Gideon? You have too many men. My own strength has saved me. Now, announce unto the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. So they had, in the beginning, I Googled it. I looked it up. How many men were in the army? 32,000 men were there. About 1-4 was the ratio between them and the Midianites, with 32,000. And God is saying there's too many. So what does he do? He says, whoever is afraid, please leave. Leave. It's okay. And think about this. We can play the other side of it. Maybe you can think of, well, do you know what? Do you want scared and the weak to be part of your army? No. No, they don't. But God is doing, what is God doing here? He's showing them. So he takes them down to 10,000. But the Lord said again to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water, flutter with their tongues as dogs lap, from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank, cupped hands, lapped like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees. So there's 300 people left, soldiers left. I was trying to look, I was thinking, was there any symbolism into this? And lapping like a dog, getting down and putting it up. Not really, but that's how God works. That's how God works. He just says, do you know what? This is what I'm doing today. It doesn't really have to mean anything. He's like, this is what I'm doing. I'm God. But he separated them. So now there's 300. So we go from 32,000 to 10,000 to 300, where there was well over 100 and some thousand Midianites. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300, who took over the pravis and the trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in a valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down to the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack. Isn't this awesome? Like, just read that there. If you are afraid to attack. God still knew Gideon was afraid. After everything that God was showing him, he knew that Gideon was still afraid. So I want to stop there for 1 second, because I want us to think about that. I want us to think about, isn't that awesome that we worship and serve a God that knows our imperfections, that he is patient, that he is a patient God? Isn't that great? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. How many times have I screwed up? How many times am I afraid to go talk to that person? How many times am I afraid to get up here? I have to tell you, I was saying to Janice this morning with Janet this morning when I was about my sermon style that I do, that I like to read it out. I like to read it out, go break it down verse by verse. Reading's never been my strong suit. I never enjoyed to read. I was never a great reader. Maybe some of you can tell. But more and more I did, I thought it was funny that God called me to do this. And God called me to preach this type of style. Maybe it'll change. Maybe it'll change down the line. But God's calling me to do this because he knows what my imperfection is. And he knows that I get scared. He knows that I get nervous. But he's patient with me. And he was patient with Gideon. And he's patient with every single one of us here. As many times as we screw up in a day and ask for forgiveness, then the next time we screw up again later that day, God, I already know I asked you. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. Let me hold you up. So what is he? He's doing. He's giving Gideon this here. He's saying, dude, I know that you're afraid, but let me show you again. Even though you didn't, I showed you before, but let me show you again. Think about that so many times in the gospel. When Jesus was going out talking to people and healing, when he was going out healing people, and people like, Lord, will you please save me? Who do you think I am? Yes, I can save you. Well, can you save me? Yes, I can. But thank goodness he didn't respond like that. He didn't respond like that. He would touch them or say, go, your faith will be with you. Isn't that awesome? That should be encouragement to us as a church and as individuals, that God is patient and a loving God. Go down to the camp. So we're going to continue reading here. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down to the camp, because I am going to give them into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pusha and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Pusha his servant went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all other Eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could not be counted than the sand on the sea. Just a little fact here. This is one of the first times in Scripture that they talk about camel warfare. Just a little helpful fact, just in case anybody cared. It's the first time that they talk about that they use camels during war. I was reading that this morning. I was looking at something, looking over my notes, and I was looking at that. I was like, first time camels were used in war. Camel warfare. Gideon arrived just as a man telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joseph, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hand. As I was picturing that, I was envisioning somebody throwing a loaf of bread into a tent and it falling over. I was going to bring my loaf of bread today and just throw it at somebody and see what would happen. But I figured, no, I'm a guest here today. I didn't want to do that. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into our hands." What did he do? He fell on his knees and worshiped. Do we fall on our knees and worship enough? I don't. When I see God, what he does for us, I might say, "Hey, thank you a lot, God. I appreciate that one." But do we truly thank God for what he has done for us? Or do we focus on what is going bad in our lives? Do we fall on our knees and just thank God for what he has done for us? "Get up. The Lord has given the Midianites camp into our hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, which taught with torches inside. I want to note that I wrote in my side there, no swords. He gave him a torch, a trumpet, and a jar. No weapons. 300 men going up against over 100,000 plus soldiers. And they said it was more camels and more men than the sand. And what did they go into battle with? A jar, a trumpet, and a torch. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow my trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. I just wanted to point that out there. The middle of the middle watch. So they were starting to change watch. The Midianites were starting to change their guard duties there. And they broke up the 300 into 100 different groups and kind of surrounded the camp. Just after they had changed guards, they blew their trumpets and broke their jars, and there were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their hands, in their left hands, and holding in their right hands the trumpet. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other. I have that underlined there. The Lord. What did Gideon do through this whole thing? What God told him to do. God gave him the strength. God gave him the resources. God gave him the encouragement. And what happened? The Midianites were completely destroyed with not even a sword. With their own swords. They turned on each other and they killed each other and they all fled. God can use us when we have faith. It doesn't have to be a lot. Faith is a mustard seed. God can use us. God used a weak man like Gideon, the smallest. Think about it so many different times. Think about David and Goliath. Think about so many different times God has used somebody that wasn't significant to do something great. I want us to think today about here at Myerstown, but the church in general. We see a decline. We're seeing a decline in the church. I watched a documentary quite a while ago, and it was saying about the church in America and the decline of it. And I hear so many times that we pray, God, give us a revival. We need a revival. What is God calling you today to do? What is God calling me today to do? What did God, Jesus, tell us to do? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always. He gave us our commandment. He didn't say go fix the world. He said go out into the world. He didn't say you need to fix this mess. I am putting this on to you. He says, go out into the world and speak my name. It's Myerstown Church here. As individuals sitting here in a pew, the Lord has equipped us. He already equipped us. He gave us what we need. He gave us the Holy Spirit. What does it say? He gave us his son, Jesus, that died on the cross for our sins. Not because we were worthy of it. Not because we were something great. But because he loved us. Not because he looks at us today and be like, man, that guy Chris, he is a good talker. Can't read, but he's a good talker. No. He doesn't say, look at Myerstown Church right there. They have a beautiful building. I can do great things. No, it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with God. He equipped us, every single one of us. He sent his son Jesus and died on the cross for us because he loved us. And then what did he do? He gave us a helper. The Holy Spirit. He already equipped us. So going to what I was saying earlier is that it gets overwhelming. It gets daunting. We look at the decline in the church and we see everything that is going on and we're praying for revival. Are we praying? Are we trusting that God can fill these pews? Are we trusting that God can save our country? Are we saying it or are we truly believing it? He already equipped us. He already gave us our job. Are we getting up out of here on a Sunday morning and doing our job? He didn't say a good Christian comes to church on a Sunday morning and sits here in a pew and listens to what I have to say and then wait till next Sunday to hear what I have to say again. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's because he loves us enough. He equipped Gideon with 300 men to kill and to destroy with a jar, a torch, and a trumpet. What do you think he could do with us as his church? Do we believe? Do we truly believe what he can do? Or do we just use our words and say, yes, I believe? I don't know anybody here. I don't know anybody's heart here. My prayer for today, for this church, is if there is even one person that doesn't know him, that they come and know him as their Lord and Savior. But also my other prayer is that God just puts that fire into us. Puts that fire, and it gets, like I said, it gets daunting. We look, and I'm sure there's people that think, I do all this work on it every day, and it gets tiresome and gets old. We don't have to do it on our own. He gave us that helper. He took a man like Gideon that was in a hole, scared for his life, with 300 men, and is now known as a great warrior. What is your legacy going to be? What is our legacy going to be as a church? Where is our legacy going to be that in that church in America, they were good. They did a lot of good things. They were quiet. They were peaceful. Are we going to be our legacy be known as we were bold? We were steadfast in the word. He gave us our instructions. Are we getting into the word? Are we falling on our knees and truly begging for a revival? It is hard. Life is hard. Sometimes God needs to break us so he can use us. Might it be financially? Might it be physically? Might it be emotionally? Sometimes God needs to break us so he can be glorified through us. And it's because he loves us. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't have sent his son Jesus. For we all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. But Jesus loves us. Today I picked a closing song. How great that. The closing song, What an Awesome God We Serve. Because what a great God we serve that loves us enough to send his son Jesus to a screwed up, messed up, messy people that are broken. But he just wants to fill all those cracks up with his gold and him. But today, I want to leave us before we get into the song. Are we going to stand up? Are we going to be the believers that Jesus called us to be? Are we going to be on fire for the Lord and trust all things are possible through God? Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
You move that back up there again, please. You put that back up. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heavens and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Can I hear that again? What a mighty God we serve. Amen. God equipped us. He took our brokenness, gave us his Holy Spirit, gave us the textbook to use. So go out and do it. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today for Myerstown. I want to thank you for sending your son Jesus to come upon us. I just want to thank you for sending your Holy Spirit here. I just ask you to be here with this congregation in your church. I just ask you to just put a fire in every single one of us. And some days it gets discouragement, Lord, but we just thank you for the example of Gideon. In the story here of Gideon, that you were patient. You were patient with him. May you be patient with us, that we may be able to go out and do your command. Make disciples of all nations with you. I thank you and praise you with all that you do. In your loving son's name, Jesus. Amen.